This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Have you ever wondered if your partner really loves you? Well, apparently, thousands of TikTok users have wondered this, and they're testing their theories for the world to see. Dr. Edith Hill is an Associate Lecturer of Learning and Teaching Innovation from Flinders University, joins us weekly. Edith, I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
I thought you'd like this one, Warren.
Now, I've got to say, though, if I had to test my partner, I'm out the door in a flash. Like, if I got to that point, but I know some people can't, but just the thought that I have to test. So a lot of this, I'm assuming, is a bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a little bit of fun. I mean, look, for some people, it seems a lot more serious than that. But I think if you look at it even slightly critically for more than a second, you realize that these things are completely not valid ways to test the validity of your relationship.
So how do we use TikTok to test if our partner really loves us?
So what has been going on, and this isn't necessarily new, but there are new trends that have kind of come around recently, and it's people doing little tricks and things to kind of test how their partners behave in certain situations. So we use the term test quite loosely here.
So one of the
recent ones is an orange peel test. So you tell your partner that you want an orange, and if they say, okay, well, they've, you know, failed the test. But if they go, oh, yeah, no worries, and they go and get you the orange, they peel the orange, they cut it up into a bowl for you, then that obviously shows that they love you. And anything short of that is just completely not acceptable.
What if you don't have oranges? I don't have oranges. I've got limes.
Look, I don't like oranges. They're too pithy, you know? I'm not a big pith person. I'm an apple gal, you know? But it's not just limited to the orange peel test. There are a few different ones out there, ranging from the very, you know, unserious to legitimate testing of the, what's the word? Validity or
is it authenticity?
Potentially, how much if your partner will cheat is what I'm trying to say.
Oh.
But in a fancy way, I should just say that.
The fidelity.
Yes, the fidelity, if they're going to mess around on you. So some of these tests can get quite serious and, yeah, aren't a bit of fun.
Now, I do have to ask you, though, are any of the tests evidence-based? I know, obviously, the orange peel one isn't. I'm assuming the lime one is. No, do people put serious stuff on TikTok is what I'm trying to say?
People do put serious stuff on TikTok, and I think their reactions are often real, even though some of them definitely aren't. But as for the validity of the test, absolutely not. So I wrote an article this past week with a professor of psychology at Flinders. Her name's Lydia. Hi, Lydia. And she, you know, taught me a lot about this because I came to her and I said, hey, here's a thing going on. Do you have any backing that goes, that can tell us if this is real? And long story short, she's like, no. There's no one test or one trick or one anything that shows, you know, whether or not your partner will be faithful or whether or not they love you. But she did talk to me about, you know, if you do have an insecurity in your relationship, you're more likely to seek out ways to confirm these insecurities. It's like a confirmation bias, essentially, where you only seek out information to confirm a pre-existing idea you have. So I think that's what a lot of these tests are doing.
Just on the trend itself, so this is a trend that's happening on TikTok at the moment. How do these trends start? Like, does it just, someone comes up and says, you know what, I've got an orange and I'm going to test my partner, and they film themselves and it's just popular and it just goes off and goes viral and gathers steam that way. How do these trends sort of, I suppose, seed themselves?
I think some of them are that someone just goes, oh, here's an idea, and they do it.
Mm.
Now, don't quote me on this, but I have a feeling that the orange peel test originated from a woman saying that she loves oranges, but because of a condition in her hands that she couldn't actually peel them, so her partner peeled an orange for her every single day. And so people started, you know, testing their partners about this. But some of them are ridiculous. There was this sauce test, which sounds gross, and it is, and it's very, it's only heterosexual couples that have seen do this, and it's women making messes on counters with sauce and then testing to see if their husbands know how to clean it up.
Oh.
And it's a really icky kind of test. They're like, oh, see, silly men don't know how to clean, or, you know, women being, you know, overly anal about cleanliness, or, you know, some gross kind of stereotypes going on in there. But what annoyed me was I just saw these people making messes on counters and then not getting cleaned properly and just smearing the sauce everywhere. And it really, really bugged me.
That would, do you know, if someone did that at my house, I'd be so stressed because I am just, I love cleanliness, particularly in my kitchen. And get out. If you're going to pour the sauce all over the bench, that would be the end of the relationship. Wouldn't even be a test. It would be like,
yeah, okay, exactly.
That's it. You know that I like a clean bench, and you went and deliberately poured sauce on it.
Yeah. Oh, I can feel
the heat rising inside me. But, you know, I suppose, why are they so popular, though, these tests?
Oh, I think there's a few reasons. So, one, they can actually be really entertaining. I've said this a million times on the show, but I'm so nosy. I want to know the inner workings of people's lives. So seeing people react in certain ways is always interesting. And I think there are some theories, actual theories, not just TikTok tests, out there that tell us that, you know, we like seeing content where we can feel like vilified, or where we see something and go, hey, that is wrong. And then you go to the comments and you see other people being like, hey, that is wrong. And then you go, yes, I had the correct opinion. So there's that kind of element to it as well. I think people also like seeing how other people react, or feeling maybe that their partner is better, knowing that they may have reacted better in a situation. Oh, those silly people. You know, that kind of thing.
We're chatting with Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer from Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University, about what everyone's talking about in the world of TikTok at the moment, and it's these tests to see if your partner loves you. I'm going to give a clue to any potential future relationships that I might have. And this is based on the orange peel test. I don't know why, since I was a kid, I can't eat the peel of pears and apples. I don't know why, I just can't eat it. I just can't swallow it. It's horrible. So there you go. If you peel me an apple or a pear, you know, I'll be impressed before I eat it.
His heart will be yours. Peel those fruits.
That's exactly right. But on a serious note, surely these tests could be a little bit harmful as well.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine you just think you're like in the kitchen, in the privacy of your own home, and you found out your partner's propped their phone up and they're testing you. That in itself would be it for me. I would feel so violated if my partner did that. I mean, some of them are a bit of fun, and some of them are, you know, the popular ones are from couples who post videos together. So you can kind of assume that perhaps they have this agreement, or they talk about it before they post things. But then there are the everyday people who aren't influencers or content creators who are doing this kind of get in on the trend. And you can kind of tell in people's faces that they're really unhappy with this. And I think it really goes back to that confirmation bias where I'm like, yeah, you're testing them for a reason because you want them to react poorly, potentially, to kind of feel valid in your opinion. One of the things that is, you know, worse, I think, is there's influencers out there who test how loyal your partners are going to be, and people will message influencers together to hit on their partners and see whether or not the partners will cheat.
So they that set them up for failure. Up.
Yeah. It's really icky, because even if you don't fall for it, then your partner still tried to get someone to help you cheat on them. Like, it's really gross, really ick. And if you're at that point considering that, my love, that is a sign that you need to be reconsidering that relationship. And that's just not a healthy behavior.
I agree with you, but it's important to say some people are, you know, in situations where they can't get out of a relationship. So if this conversation does raise any issues for you, just head to joy.org.au/support. There's a list of amazing places, organisations and resources that will be able to provide some help there. Let's move on to something else, Edith. Meta, the owner of Facebook, have got their artificial intelligence in the news. Why?
Yeah, so Meta AI, it's here. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
I'm a little confused about it.
Tell us about it.
What the main difference is, so people at this point in life, even though it seems like this only happened like a year ago, it feels like it's very everywhere right now, is AI. So artificial intelligence or AI tools that can help you with writing, can help generate images, can help with planning, organization, whatever it is. They're kind of becoming everywhere. And Meta AI is kind of similar to a tool like ChatGPT in a way, which is a text generator, predictor kind of model that can pull answers from existing data, which is basically, you know, the whole internet.
It has to be existing data, doesn't it? It can't be, like, it doesn't think of something that we haven't thought of before and recorded somewhere.
I hope so. I hope that's what it is. As far as I know, it's pulling from its data bank, which is the internet in most cases. Mm. And so what you put into it also fuels and feeds into that database. So, you know, as a side note, at uni, what I say, you know, don't put a whole assignment in there for it to try and edit it for you, is because that assignment then becomes a part of its bank that can then be used for somebody else's. And it's a really... tricky grey or black area, really, around, you know, academic integrity and that kind of thing. But what seems to be different about Meta AI is previously, for things like ChatGPT, you have to go to their website to use it. But Meta AI is becoming integrated into the existing social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, which is a little bit different.
How do we know if it is being, if we are using the AI inadvertently? Like, for example, I might be doing a WhatsApp message. How do we know?
So how I first saw this is there was a prompt that if you're in WhatsApp, you can write imagine and then start typing in something, and it would generate an image based on the words you said after imagine. So if you're at imagine a bird in a tree, it will start generating that image in the chat and send it as an image to the person you're talking to. So it will say or show you that there's, you know, the Meta AI is active in your platforms. I haven't updated my Facebook app in God knows how long, so it's not in my socials yet. Same with Instagram. I basically leave them until my phone is like, please, we can't function anymore. You need to update us. I'm really bad with that kind of stuff, so I haven't used it yet. And I went to look at it earlier today, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have to sign in. I kind of don't want it to go into look at all my stuff yet, because it's something that I think people should definitely look into about what it's having access to in your account, and what data it's putting into itself, not just what it's putting out.
It's like a big monster, a hungry monster that once we open it, opens its mouth and goes and eats all our data.
Exactly. It's one of those things that I like to think I know a lot about, and I do when it comes to, like, you know, education and students trying to use it to write essays and things like that. But I still joke with my partner, the one I ask Siri to do something, I say please and thank you afterwards, you know, just in case if the robots rise up.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Rise up anxiety. What a great point. I'm going to be aware. There's a chat. For messaging, I mean, WhatsApp, I haven't seen anything pop up yet. I do use WhatsApp, but there's another app that's more secure. I think it's called Signal, that doesn't have any of this stuff at this stage. So I might have to migrate all my contacts onto that, I think.
Look, there's definitely a conversation to be had for people to decide what apps and what things are best for them. I know that our university at Flinders, we have, they do recommend staff use certain tools and not others because of how it stores your data. And so they say, oh, well, these tools are here. They're here to stay. We need to learn how to use them and learn how students are using them, all of that kind of fun stuff. But at the same time, they're like, hey, if you're using this to help understand academic papers, that's breaking copyright law. So you need to use ones that don't then put that data back out somewhere else. Like, yes, it can feed from everywhere in the internet, but what you put into it, it then can't put back out. So you're not breaching any of those kind of rules. But up to the individual, 100% look into what you're using. have a check to see if your app are updated, because it might have not rolled out to you yet. This has only just happened in the last couple of days, so it might be a little while until it hits your phones, but it kind of looks like it's here to stay. And I don't know if you can opt out yet. It doesn't look like it's an option at the minute if you're using those apps.
I'm not logging in until we find out.
I'll keep you updated.
Great to chat with you, Edith. We'll talk to you again next week.
No problems, Lauren. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. That's Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University. You can catch Edith every Wednesday here on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.